Praise God. It's the river of anointing of God's presence in our lives. And we are so thrilled to be able to share some of that healing anointing with you today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. That's where our main central ministry is located. But there are some of you that are a part of Beacon of Hope that are not in the Clearwater, Florida area. And we welcome each of you that listen to this radio broadcast consistently. God bless you for doing that. And we are going to have a mighty time today. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister. And I am pumped, Engineer Bill. I am ready. We had church this morning at Beacon of Hope. And that means we had a mighty visitation of Almighty God. And it was cool. So we're going to have a good time. Ah, there we go. Yes, there he is with his little applause thing he does in there. All right. It's going to be a good day. And Deb and Alice from Houston are going to join me after a while. And this first part, we're just going to do some teaching and get you into the Word of God. If you have your Bible, you need to find it and follow along. And we're going to start in Matthew 9, and then we're going to move into the book of Mark again. We have been studying the book of Mark consistently. We are in this special series that we've had going on now for a few weeks. It's called this. This is what it's called. It's All About You, Jesus. And it is all about Him. And today we are going on with the truths of healing that Jesus was teaching as He walked this earth. And we are hoping and believing that so many of you out there will grab these truths today, make them a part of your life, and receive the healing that you need in your physical body or your emotions, your minds, whatever it is that you need, that today will be your day of healing. And if you agree with that, I want you to say it with me. Today's my day for healing. Say that with me. Today is my day for healing. And let's go a step further, and I want you to say this. I'm going to receive what God has for me today. Let's go there. I'm going to receive what God has for me today. One more time. Come on. I want you to proclaim it. I'm going to receive what God has for me today. I'm going to listen with open ears. You can say that. I'm going to listen with open ears. I'm going to hear with my heart and with my ears. I'm going to hear with my heart and with my ears. I'm going to receive what God has for me today. Say it again. I'm going to receive what God has for me today. I'm going to be a good student of God's word today. Say that with me. I'm going to be a good student of God's word today. And I am going to be open to God changing my mind on what I have always thought about healing. I'm going to be open to have my mind changed today, because God wants to teach you and He wants to teach me some deeper truths from His word about the subject of healing. I wore an old Beacon of Hope shirt that I've had for many years, since we started the church almost. And I did this on purpose today. Number one, because it's orange and kind of wild. Don't you think, Bill?
I really love that color.
Is that really
of the shirt?
Is that cool?
I like orange or purple.
Yeah, you like orange and purple. I do too. I like orange and purple. But this orange is just like my little grandson Justin, who is 11. Orange is his favorite color.
I would say more sherbet.
Sherbet? Oh, I mean, it's wild, isn't it? Well, ever since little Justin's been 2, his favorite color is orange, and it's still carried that way. And he's 11 now. That's odd for a little guy. But he has orange everything, you know, Nike Air, anything that comes in orange or, you know, whatever. It's all orange, you know. Anyway, the back of this shirt is what is so significant, but I'm not going to stand up and turn around for our audience to see. I'm just going to tell you what it says. It says, prayer works. That's what it says. And that's why I wore it today, besides the fact that I just like orange. And anyway, prayer works. And so we are going to pray for many of you today on the air. Deb and Alice are going to join us. They are our prayer captains for the ministry, Beacon of Hope Ministries. Actually, it's Alice, and Deb has other things that she does, but Deb backs her up, and prayer is huge. And we're going to talk about prayer today when they come on the air, too. And so today is a very special day. And some of you that are just now joining us don't even realize how special today is. You can actually, within the next couple hours, get free from pain in your body. Can anybody say amen to that? In fact, Bill, I think we need applause for that. Get rid of pain in our body. Yeah, let's do that. Woo! Yes, there's some excited people out there. And some of those nagging illnesses in your body. Today is your day to be healed. So let's get some more applause for that. Amen. Woo. There we go. All right. I just want him to stay busy in there so he doesn't fall asleep. So anyway, actually, the truth is I want you all to realize.
Ring a bell on that one.
Oh, yeah. Boom, boom. You seem awake today. All right. Bill does sit in there, our engineer, and follow along closely as we teach, and he learns, and it's cool.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I really like your teachings.
Yeah, you seem to.
Oh, what about the book?
The book, I will talk about that book after a while, but I will tell you that it is doing very well, and the prison is needing more books, and we're excited about that. Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost on Amazon.com, but you can order it through our ministry off of our website, BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. It's my latest book, my third book. It's about my daughter, and it's actually letters to her. And we'll talk more about that a little later on. But you can go to our website, BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com, find out all about it, and get a copy there. So, this is an exciting day. We got to get a song in here. I asked Connie to put this song on, and we actually did this song at the end of our worship time today at Beacon of Hope. And it's written by Bill Gaither, and the Gaither Vocal Band have performed it, and it is He Touched Me, and I love this song. I was talking to
Deb and Alice on the phone because I was just checking on their estimated time arrival to their home. They said 44 minutes.
Okay.
I said that she's in there swaying back and forth.
Oh, man.
We just call her the swaying Sherbert.
There you go. All right. I'll take that. I tell you what. It's because I believe that God touches us, and I believe that God wants to touch you today. And I am still flying high from that service we had this morning. So many people were touched and healed and blessed today. It was incredible. It was a mighty time. And Nathan was on the piano singing that song. And I mean, just making that piano come alive this morning. It was just, woo, it was wild. So yes, I'm still flying high from that. And I praise God that God is doing great things.
Maybe we'll get a little piano in here and hook it up.
Well, you never know. Let him do some live stuff.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
Actually, I think he has a keyboard. Maybe we could do that. That would be cool.
All right. That'd be great.
All right. Okay. Get your Bibles and let's go to Matthew chapter 9 before we get back to the book of Mark. Let's look at starting at verse 27, I believe. Yes. Matthew 9:27. I'm in the Message Bible. As Jesus left the house, he was followed by two blind men crying out, "Mercy, Son of David, mercy on us." Now, if you listened to the show last week, we talked about how the other blind person over there in Mark chapter 10, I believe, was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And some of you may remember that story. This is a different one. This is a different story. But interestingly enough, these guys are also crying out, "Mercy, mercy, Son of David." And we're going to talk about that whole concept of mercy. When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. So they just followed Jesus along and they were crying out to him, "Mercy, mercy." Some of you out there that need a healing in your body right now and in your emotions, you need to be crying out, "God, I need your mercy." If you take notes, write it down. You need to cry out for God's mercy. Call on the mercy of God. Write that down somewhere. Call on the mercy of God. God responds when we ask for his mercy. The definition of mercy is when you don't get what you deserve, okay? In this case, these blind men did not get that. They did not continue to be blind. They were calling on the mercy of God. They wanted a change in their circumstances. And if you're taking notes, write that down. I'm asking God for a change in my circumstances. Change my circumstances, God. These blind men needed God, to heal them from their blindness. And they were crying out for his mercy. Now, here's what Jesus said. He turns around to them and he goes, "Do you really believe I can do this? Do you really believe I can do this?" Now, I find that a fascinating question that came from Jesus. If you take notes, I think you need to either mark that in your Bible or do both. Mark it in your Bible and write it in your notebook. Because Jesus said, "Do you really believe I can do this?" Now, I ask you, dear one, that's tuned into this radio show today, or maybe we'll listen to it in the future on our website, because it's always up on our websites by Monday around noon, and then it stays on our website. So you can listen to this show as many times as you want to. I ask you this question. Do you really believe God can touch you today? Do you really believe that there is healing for your body, for your mind, for your emotions, for the junk that you are struggling with? Do you believe that he's your healer? Do you believe that God can do this? Okay. Now, I'd like to hear you, but I can't. But you can hear me, but I can't hear you out there in radio land. I want you to say, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Can you do that with me? This is a audience participation teaching, evidently. So can you say, "Yes, Lord, I believe"?
Yes, Lord, I believe.
All right. We've got one in the house that believes. All right. That's Engineer Bill. And I think you just spoke for all of radio land, did you not? "Yes, Lord, I believe." Okay. "Do you really believe I can do this?" And they said, "Why, yes, Master." Okay. They didn't say, "I don't know." They didn't say, "Well, maybe if you feel like a Jesus." They didn't say, "I don't know if you have that ability, Jesus." No, here's what they said. And I'm in Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. They said, "Why, yes, Master." He touched their eyes and he said, "Become what you believe." Also, if you take notes, write those four words down. Those are very significant. I love the way the Message Bible says this right there. Become what you believe. Okay, so if you believe that God can heal your eyes, okay, and some of you out there need a healing on your eyes right now. If you believe that God can heal your eyes, he touched their eyes and said, become what you believe. Now, we just played that old Gaither song, he touched me. Okay. Now reach out right now where you are in faith and become what you believe. Now, on the other hand, if you believe you're going to continue with poor eyesight or blindness or with heart disease or with cancer or whatever your ailment might be, if you genuinely believe that you're just going to keep that, then you just decided you're keeping it. Okay. But if you believe that God can have mercy on you and heal you, then you need to be declaring it out loud with your mouth today. Graham Cook, and this is a guy that I listen to his CDs, he's just an incredible man of God. He says this, the truth that sets us free is always rooted in proclamation. In other words, I'm going to repeat that to you again so you can write it down. In other words, what Graham says is, if you want to be free from something, you need to declare it with your mouth. You need to proclaim it with your mouth. Dear ones, I'm proclaiming right now across these airwaves, right now, live, and then in the future on our website, I am declaring right now that when we decide, make a decision to call on the mercy of God and become what we believe, that God steps in and does the work that needs to be done. It happened. I'm in verse 29 of Matthew 9. He touched their eyes and said, become what you believe. Okay, say that with me. I am going to become what I believe. Say it with me. I am going to become what I believe. And then it says it happened. They saw. Then Jesus became very stern, and then he said, don't let a soul know how this happened. They were hardly out the door before they started blabbing it to everyone. Now, what is so cool about that is that they couldn't keep their mouths shut. I mean, they had had a miracle. These guys were blind, two blind men walking around, and Jesus had healed them because they chose to believe to become what they believed. So let's look at verse 32 of Matthew 9. Right after that, as the blind men were leaving, a man who had been struck speechless by an evil spirit was brought to Jesus. As soon as Jesus threw the evil tormenting spirit out, and by the way, we believe in deliverance at Beacon of Hope. And when I pastored the church in Indiana, Cornerstone Ministry, believe me, it started out as a deliverance ministry. We believe that God can set you free from tormenting spirits. We believe that, and we have cast out thousands through the years, thousands and thousands. Anyway, this blind man, as these blind men were leaving, a man who had been struck speechless by an evil spirit was brought to Jesus. Okay, in other words, this man was not able to talk. And because an evil spirit had done this to him, as soon as Jesus threw the evil tormenting spirit out, the man talked. He talked away just as if he'd been talking all his life. The people got up on their feet and started applauding. Whoa. There's never been anything like this in Israel. Wow. Now, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, saw this happen. They saw Jesus cast out this demonic spirit and this man started talking. Okay. It does not say here that Jesus prayed a prayer of healing over him. This lack of being able to talk was due to a demonic spirit, and Jesus simply cast it out. Now, the Pharisees, it says in the Message Bible in verse 34, they were left sputtering. I love it, sputtering. And they said, hocus pocus. It's nothing but hocus pocus. He's probably made a pact with the devil. Well, we know that Jesus, it actually confronted the religious leaders in the book of Luke and in the book of Mark when they said this about his healing power coming from the devil and the fact that he cast out demons, and that the religious leaders thought that power came from the devil. And Jesus confronted them and said, wait a minute, how can the devil throw out the devil? That's ridiculous. And so Jesus said, wait a minute, that power is not coming from the devil. That's coming from God Almighty. And Jesus is God Almighty. So then Jesus, I'm in verse 35 of Matthew chapter 9. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places. I love it. He was a teacher. He was a teacher of the word. He reported kingdom news. We do that at Beacon of Hope. We have praise reports. And he healed their diseased bodies. We also do that at Beacon of Hope. We did it today. Pray for people and see them healed. He healed their diseased bodies. Also, it says here, he healed their bruised and hurt lives. Our slogan for Beacon of Hope is this: where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. Now, that can be physical healing. You can be healed from all kinds of diseases. It can be emotional healing. And we see right here that this is what Jesus went about doing. He taught. He reported kingdom news. He had praise reports. He healed their diseased bodies. And he healed their bruised and hurt lives. You see, Jesus does not just only care about your diseases and your sicknesses. He cares about your emotional junk that you carry around. The hurts. Maybe you've, as a child, were abused physically or sexually. Maybe you were molested, and we see this a lot in ministry to people. Maybe something like that happened to you, and you need healing, deep healing for those emotional hurts. Jesus went about, it says in Acts 10:38, doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Okay. In fact, that verse starts out and says how God anointed Jesus. That means he put his presence upon him. God anointed Jesus, gave him the power, and he went about doing good. Everybody say that with me. Jesus went about doing good. Okay. Jesus has no cancer in heaven. They have no blindness in heaven. They have no tuberculosis in heaven. They have no dreaded disease like AIDS. None of that is in heaven. And Jesus does not deal out sickness and emotional pain to people. That comes by just the world, the awful world we live in sometimes. And people around us who don't understand that that is wrong. Some of those things that hurt us so much. Now, I want you to look at the next line with me in Matthew 9, and I'm in about verse 36 or 7. When he looked out, this is Jesus, he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. That word in the Greek is interpreted compassion. That's talking about the compassion of God. And compassion is made up of two things. I pointed this out this morning at Beacon of Hope, and it's extremely important. Compassion is not just feeling sorry for somebody. You know, that doesn't do a whole lot. You can walk down the street. In Florida, we have a whole lot of people that stand at intersections with signs that they're hungry or that they need a job or whatever. And it's one thing to feel sorry for somebody like that. It's another thing to do something about it. The word compassion here means this. It's two parts. It means feeling sorry for somebody, sympathetic consciousness of another's distress. That's part one. When we feel sympathy for them because they're in distress. Part two is plus the desire to alleviate that distress. So true compassion that comes from God, and it says God is a God of compassion and loving kindness. So we got to get that down on the inside of us, that God not only feels sorry for your pain and distress, but the second part of that is that God wants to do something about it. Can I hear an amen? I'm going to have to create my own amen here. There we go. All right. There we go. Amen. Thank you, Bill. He wants to do something about your situation. It's not enough for God just to feel sorry for you. It's not enough for me to feel sorry for you. But am I willing to do something about what you're going through? That's the question. Because to be a true servant of the Lord, it takes more than feeling just sorry for someone. It takes also, part two, a desire to do something about that pain, that suffering. So it says here that when Jesus looked out over the crowds, he felt that compassion. And it's, he said this, they were so confused and aimless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus said, what a huge harvest. He said to his disciples, how few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. And dear one, that's what we're praying for at Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are praying for harvest hands. God gave me this little scripture actually through my good buddy Carol that you hear on the radio. She's part of our radio team. Back in 06, when I began to teach out the Message Bible, God showed Carol and I one day when we were on the phone just the significance of that last line of Matthew chapter 9, because Jesus said this, look at the huge harvest out there. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. We are doing that. We did that Friday night in a wonderful soaking night prayer meeting that we had at Beacon of Hope. Ended up being quite a move of God, and we were praying for harvest hands. We were praying for people to be raised up to be leaders, people that care enough to reach out and lay hands on people and see them healed and set free from all their junk. Now, and before I get Deb and Allison here, Matthew 10 goes right into a part that we have also seen in Mark. And I want to go down to verse 5 here and set the stage before I get them involved here. Jesus had selected 12 disciples. You all know that. And he sent them out, these harvest hands, with this charge. Don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers. Whoa. That's cool. A lot of us feel like, oh, well, I can't serve God because I don't want to be called to Africa or India or some other continent. And Jesus said, begin right where you are. Don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers, and don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. And boy, I can't wait to talk to Deb and Alice about that. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. Don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. I love this. This is Matthew chapter 10, and this is about verse 10, I believe. You are the equipment. You are the equipment. And all you need to keep that going is 3 meals a day, travel light. In the NIV right there, that verse 10 says, the worker is worthy of his support. And praise God, those that are called to the ministry and are doing what I'm doing right now, teaching the word, that are called to pastor, evangelize, whatever, the worker is worthy of his support. Jesus said that. That didn't just come from a person. If you have a pastor that you're not supporting, you need to be supporting that pastor. If you have an evangelist that ministers to you routinely, you need to be supporting that ministry, because Jesus said it right here. The worker is worthy of his support. Woo. Are they on the air, Bill? Somebody is.
I'm here.
Hey, Pastor Deb, calling from Houston. Are you guys still in the car?
Yes, ma'am. We are about 15 minutes from our house.
All right. Had a grandchild birthday, huh?
We did. We one of our 8 grandchildren turns 8 on the 18th, and we had her birthday party today.
Cool. Which one was that? Was that Annie?
No, that would be Lorraine.
All right. Okay.
That's Annie's little sister.
All right. Cool. All right. Have you been hearing all this?
Yes, we have.
Okay. Oh, we're getting a lot of sound there. Maybe Bill, what is that?
That's because they are in the car with the windows rolled up.
Are the windows rolled up? Okay. Okay, maybe that's trucks going by. Is that possible?
Is that a little better?
Yeah, that's a little better. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, and pretty soon you'll be back at the house and we won't have that. So anyway, you're hearing all this, Deb, and I am telling you that God is moving mightily at Beacon of Hope. You were here just a few weeks ago. You saw the move of God, and today it was just mighty what God was doing, healing people, ministering to every single person in the building. Got ministry today. Took us a while to get out of there after the service, but.
Well, you know, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. So tell me, what do you feel about this? When Jesus is saying he's looking for harvest hands, do you want to comment on that?
Well, on our way to the birthday party, we have a two-hour drive, and so we were reading all the scripture that you were going to study on today.
Yeah.
And what we heard it telling us was that when you feel that call and you answer that call, that God is going to provide for you. That,
yes.
That, but it also says in there that, you know, God's going to provide for you, but, you know, he's not promising you that you're not going to have troubles.
Exactly, yeah.
And the troubles that you have, you use them as a tool for learning so that you learn how God helps you through these troubles so that you can pass this knowledge on to others who may be facing the problems that you've already gone through.
Absolutely. And that whole concept that you're talking about, When you get on the air in a little while, we will really delve into that a little bit more. But I'm glad you gave that kind of a preview of what we're talking about here, because Jesus never promised that it was going to be easy pie in the sky when you die, or, you know, pie in the sky right now type of thing, did he?
No, and, you know, you were talking earlier about can you believe, do you believe that I can do this?
Right.
You know, and that's all talking about having faith and believing and trusting, because faith is nothing but trust.
It is trust, yes.
It's having trust and believing that what you are asking for, what you are seeking, that God is going to take care of. But you have to remember that, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. And by the same token, where you talk about, you know, Jesus said, do you believe that I can heal you?
Right.
You know, that does not mean that, you know, if you've got a broken leg and you ask Jesus to heal that broken leg, that you're supposed to sit there with that broken leg and do nothing.
Right.
You have to do the footwork that is involved in healing. You cannot just sit there and wait.
God is not, exactly. God is not opposed to medicine and medical science and surgery and chemotherapy and all of that. God is not opposed to that. He created all that, you know?
There's a lot of people that will attribute this statement to the Bible, and it's actually not in the Bible, where people will say, you know, God only helps those who help themselves.
Yeah, it's not even there. Yeah.
It's not in the Bible. However, there is truth to that.
Right.
You know,
right.
God expects you to do your part.
Right.
You know, like you said, supporting your local ministry, your local evangelist.
Right.
You know, you have to feed yourself. You have to work and, you know, pay your bills and do your part so that God can do his part.
Right.
And along with that, you have to support the ministry that is supporting you.
Absolutely. And we don't talk a lot about money on the air. In fact, I think it's interesting that Jesus even said here in verse 9, don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You know, the worker is worthy of his support. Yeah, I mean, we don't have to, you know, beat people up on this radio show for finances. We have never, ever had a radio show that wasn't paid for in advance, and that is 4 years. I just put the check in the little box here on the wall outside here a minute ago. Before we come in to do a show, it is already paid for. God has always supplied our needs, you know?
But it's not just about money.
It's not.
You know, it's not just about giving somebody money. If you are even people that listen to this radio show.
Right.
It's not necessarily about money. It's about praying for you, Pastor Marcia, for
right.
me,
right.
for Connie, for all the radio staff that does this show.
Right.
Pray for us. Pray for us that God will send us the message that we need to be able to interpret for you,
right?
So that we can help you learn the things that you need to learn.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the members of your church. It's not just about money.
Right.
Doing God's work and supporting and contributing
Amen.
God and his work and the people that are called to do God's work.
Amen.
It's about supporting them with prayer,
yes.
supporting them with, you know, contact and letting them know that you're there and you have faith in what they're doing. It's also that, because you look at what Jesus did. You know, Jesus went around and he believed and trusted that God was going to take care of him, as well as the people that followed him.
That's exactly right.
But he didn't ask for anything.
Right. You're exactly right. But yet, people ministered to him, too. You know, they prayed for him and took care of him and fed him. They had dinners for him and all those things. You know, that's an excellent point that you just made, because so often people in the ministry are guilty of, and we hear it all the time on headlines, people, you know, taking all this money and, you know, and causing all kinds of financial I mean, it doesn't look good in some ministries, things that have happened. And it's not about money. You're in the ministry to alleviate suffering of others. You're in the ministry to lay hands on the sick and see them healed, and to give words of life and teaching. It's not about getting rich. You know what I'm saying? Because we get...
I know I'm not getting rich.
But you know what? We get rich in other ways. I mean, I am so blessed.
I get the support that I get from the members of the
yes.
congregation.
Yes.
From you knowing that you're only a phone, you know, we may be 1,000 miles away from you, but you're only a phone call away.
Amen. Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, you're only a phone call away, and we can pray for each other. We do it all the time over the phone.
Yes.
And I get such an uplifting.
Yes.
When we call you and we ask you to pray with us, I get such an uplifting over that. I get an uplifting listening to this radio show.
Praise God. You know, piggybacking on what you said a minute ago, at the end of the service today, so many people had been prayed for, and I mean, it was a glorious time, and one person went as she fell down in the spirit, you know, as she just like, you know how that happens, you know, just fall out in the spirit. Doesn't happen all the time, but when people just submit to that, God does some mighty things in them. And when that happened, one of the glass sides of her glasses fell out, popped out. It was so powerful what God was doing.
Oh, no.
And we couldn't find it anywhere, and she later called to say that she had found it in her clothes. But I find that interesting, because the anointing of God was so strong, like it is right now for this show. And at the end of the service, the whole church gathered around me and prayed for me today, Deb. They all did, and it was just powerful what God was doing. So... Woo! This is mighty. We got some strong anointing going on here.
Amen.
And I'm going to kind of synthesize some things here and do a song. And then as soon as you guys, I assume you're home pretty quickly now.
Yeah, we're about 5 minutes from the house.
Okay.
So give us about 10 minutes and we'll be back on.
All right, call back in then. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, so you've heard Deb and Alice from the road, and we are talking today on Living the Good Life about being those harvest hands and reaching out to people in need and being there for them, but also taking a step up, not just being there for somebody, but being there and being willing to pray for them, lay hands on them, being willing to encourage them, maybe send a note of encouragement, maybe leave a message for them on their phone of encouragement, maybe pray for somebody on the phone. God is asking us to be harvest hands in these days and to reach out to those who are in need. And so often we get so entangled in the busyness of life that we forget that the real purpose we are here on this earth is not just to go to work, make a living, clean the house, mop the floor, take the dogs out. The real purpose you are here is to do kingdom business. See, I find it very interesting that Jesus taught, I'm back to Matthew 9 again, in their meeting places, he reported kingdom news. This is about verse 35 of Matthew 9. He healed their diseased bodies. He healed their bruised and hurt lives. And he was ministering to them. He did not just say, you know, he didn't stand up and say, hey, it's all about me, blah, 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 blah. Even though this title of this series is, it's all about Jesus. Jesus did it in a way where he was ministering to those in need. And that is what it's all about. I remind you of the verse I quoted a moment ago in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him. How God anointed him. Okay, that means touched him with his presence. Anointed him. And how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. You see, we have a few accounts of the healing and deliverance that took place in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But we also have statements like that, that he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. What does that say? That tells me that he did a whole lot more healing and prayer for people than is recorded. I believe that they had limited space and scrolls and so forth, and they did not begin to get down all of the healing that was taking place and all of the ministry that was taking place. Because in Acts 10, 38, it's talking about he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. That's got to be a whole lot of people that were oppressed by the devil. And along that line, sickness and disease is oppression, oppression from the devil. It pushes down. Oppress means to push down, to weigh down on you. And when you are sick, are you real strong for God? Nah, when you're sick, you're like, I don't feel like praying today. I got a fever. I'm sick. I got the flu. But when you are right on, spot on with God, when you are praying and spending time with him, when you are in the zone, you know what it's like to be in the zone when you're a runner? My son Mark ran a race on Saturday. He said it's the best time. In the last 8 years, it was his best time, a 9.3-mile race in Jacksonville. And he had to go up a big steep hill, a bridge, and all this. And still, out of 2,000 people, he came in someplace under 200. I mean, and he was just like booking it. Amen. Amen. Now, why was I saying that? Because when we are in the zone, like Mark was on Saturday, and he called me, you know, shortly after the race was over, and he says, Mom, I just ran the best race I've run in years. But he's been training. He has a coach and he has a running club he established at the law school. He's a law professor in Jacksonville. And he's got a group of people around him that are running with him, and they're helping each other move faster and train better. And he said, and it's eating right, it's getting rest, it's doing the things I know to do. And guys, we need to be that way with our spiritual lives. We need to eat right. And here's the word. You're supposed to eat the word. In fact, the word says, thy words were found. I love this in Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found and I did eat them, and they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You have a responsibility, and that is to learn the word, eat the word, get a lot of rest, and get in the zone with God so that you can lay hands on the sick and see them healed. And we are going to talk more about that in a little while. Listen to this song by Aaron Jeffrey, Heal Me.
It's another good to see you Sunday morning. Oh, I hardly hear the words roll off my tongue. I'm looking in myself for signs of something that's long gone. Oh, I stumble through a verse that says you love me, as the voices echo my thoughts drift away, and I close my eyes ashamed. I'm feeling nothing, and I pray, heal me, heal these back the joy of when I first believed. Heal me. Oh, I lose myself to one more day's indifference. When my eyes are everywhere but fixed on I don't have the strength to overcome this distance, but you do. Joy of when I first believed, heal me.
Love that song by Aaron Jeffrey. Wow, heal me. Heal these eyes. That's for you, Lloyd Lacey. Heal these eyes. Heal my heart. Heal my mind. Heal me. Woo, wake my soul and give me back the joy of when I first believed. Wow. I think so often we get caught up in the affairs of life, the stuff that happens in life, the daily living, and we just let the joy of our salvation float right out the window, and we don't hang on to what God wants to do in our lives. Instead, we just kind of go through life day by day. And we forget that we are called. We are called and we are given a task to do. And Jesus said it right here in Matthew 9 and Matthew 10. He said, you're the equipment. You don't need a bunch of equipment. You're the equipment. Get out there and be the harvest hands. Lay hands on people for their healing. Believe, become what you believe. Those four words that we read a few minutes ago in Mark or in Matthew 9 that he said to the blind men, those two guys, become what you believe. Don't just hang out living life for video games. Nothing wrong with video games. It's just priorities. I've got grandsons who love video games, but I'm telling you, we've got to get our priorities right in our lives, and we got to believe that God's got a purpose for our life that is greater than just going to work, just existing, just hanging in there until Jesus comes. So much more than that. God has a purpose for you. The anointing is extremely strong again today on this radio broadcast. Nathan and I and Connie felt it so strong last week. If you missed last week's broadcast, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can listen to last week over and over again if you want. It was really kind of part one of this healing thing that we're doing right now and teaching you about God's desire for your life. God's desire is that you grasp this message, that you understand that God is sending you out of your complacency, out of your laziness, perhaps, out of your just sitting there thinking you don't have anything to contribute to the people around you. God is saying it's time to get up off of that sofa or get out of that easy chair and start asking God what you can do today that will help someone else. You see, I believe God is speaking to the body of Christ right now and saying, it's not okay to never give away. Let's try that again. You can write that down. It's not okay to never give away. What are you to give away? You're to give away your finances. You're to plant them in ministries that teach the Word of God. You are also to give away healing to people. Sometimes what you're to give away is a listening ear. Sometimes you are to listen to somebody and try to help them with whatever dilemma they are in. It's not okay to never give away. Now, that's just original with right now. God just gave that to me. I haven't read that anywhere. I'm just telling you, that's the Holy Spirit talking. It's not okay to never give away. You are to give away the blessings that God has for you. When Jesus sent the disciples out and he sent them out two by two and he said, get out there. You are the equipment. You get out there and lay hands on the sick. You get out there and cast out demons. You get out there and teach people that God loves them. You say, well, I don't know how to do any of that. Well, what's your story? Brother Nathan and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago, and he just had this on his heart so strong. What is your story? What is your story? You have a story? Have you been healed of something? Did God bring you through a very delicate surgery and get you back on your feet? Is that part of your story? Did God save you? Did he save you from your sin, from your past? From all the junk in your past? Is that your story? Did God do something in you that perhaps you could never have done in yourself? Did he do a miracle in you? Is that your story? Are they on? What's your story? Is it Deb or is it Alice?
No, it's Deb.
What's your story, Deb? Has he ever, there's a buzz, Bill. Has he ever healed your body?
He has healed my body of so many things. He has taken away some indigestion and stomach problems that I have.
Cool.
But, you know, along with asking God to heal me, I knew that I had to make changes.
Right.
In order for that to happen as well.
Okay.
And I couldn't keep eating the bad stuff that wasn't good for me.
Okay. Good point.
So the way God healed me, in my mind, the way God healed me was, he gave me the knowledge to seek out what was good for my life.
Right.
And he provided the tools that I needed to increase my knowledge in areas that I was lacking.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, in order to make the changes I needed in my life to heal me. You know, one of the things that I really want to impress here as far as healing is concerned, it's not just about, you know, somebody who has some sort of an ailment or an infirmity or depression or alcoholism or drug addiction. It's not about, you know, going up and laying your hands physically on that person and saying a prayer and boop, it's gone.
Right. Sometimes it's a process. You're right.
Sometimes that happens. Don't get me wrong.
It
does.
Sometimes
that happens.
It does, yes.
But, you know, for our listening audience that may be sitting there going, I can't heal anybody.
Yeah.
You know, a healing for someone may be exactly what you just said. Listen to them.
Right.
Be a shoulder for them.
Exactly.
Give them a hug. Let them know that you're there.
Right.
Because that's going to increase their feelings, that they're feeling loved and cared about.
Right.
And that may give them that one step. You know, Alice and I talk about stepping stones a lot.
Right.
You know, and think of it as you come to this river and you've got to get across this river, but you don't know how. And you look down, you know, you say, God, help me.
Right.
And you look down and there's a stone for you to step on, but you look out and there's no more stones.
So I believe faith, Alice had a vision like that. What?
She,
right.
She
a couple years ago, a dream. I remember that dream. Yeah.
And you look out and you say, okay, fine, God, I'm going to take that step.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to step out.
And there's no other stone there, and you're standing on the lake with one stone under your feet, right?
But then you say, okay, God, I got to do this. And God gives you another tool.
Yes.
We use the analogy of the stepping stone, but it's like what I said earlier. You know, God put this book in front of me
right.
that said, you know, this is, read this book. It will help you.
Right.
And you know the struggles that we're going through right now about being so far away from Beacon.
Yeah.
And this Beacon so much. And Alice and I have been doing a lot of lip service to what we want.
Right.
But corporately together, the both of us, we have not been together in the same room at the same time talking and praying and asking God at the same time. We've been doing it individually.
Okay.
And like I said earlier, you know, when we're on our way to that birthday party, Alice has got the Bible and she's reading and we're talking. And, you know, we both looked at each other and go, okay, the radio program is supposed to be about healing today, but we're not getting healing out of this message. And then I got to thinking about it. Of all the scripture that you had to ask us to read today for this show.
Right.
We got a healing out of this.
Praise God.
On a two-hour road trip, we got a healing out of this because we saw, God told us in this scripture. I mean, this was Rhema word to us.
Amen.
You know, and Rhema word is when you read something and it comes to life in your own life.
That's right.
It just hits the face and we realized where we were wrong.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we'll pray and ask for things on her own, and I will pray and ask for things on my own.
Right.
But we realized that we did not have that corporate prayer.
Right. That prayer of agreement, which is so important.
And yeah. And we realized that. So, you know, you ask if I got a healing. We got a healing.
Praise God.
You know, God showed us what we were doing wrong. And to me, that's a healing.
Amen. Amen. You better believe it. Because when we see what we've been doing wrong, then God in his mercy and his love for us shows us how to correct it. And when we do correct it, look out, because that's when the miracles and that's when everything begins to flow. And on that line, Deb, if there are some people listening right now that have been in doubt and unbelief about their healing, in this story that we read earlier in Matthew 9 about these two blind men, Jesus said to them, become what you believe. So you got to get it straight. What do you believe? What is it you believe? Okay. Do you believe that Jesus can heal your body, your emotions, your circumstances, that God can lead you to where you're to go and live and all of those things? Jesus said, become what you believe. In other words, put your money where your mouth is. What is it you really believe here? You know?
Yeah. And I mean, we talk about the blind man and I hear this still small voice in my head, you know, I have to put it out to you that there's somebody out there going, okay, I'm not blind.
Okay.
You know, I'm not blind. So how can I be healed? But you may be blind because as close as I feel to God, as much as I know that God is alive inside me and I feel him, I was so caught up in what I think I want or what I think should happen that I was blind to the reality of the footwork that I need to do.
Praise God. Praise God.
You know,
yes.
A lot of people, you know, read the Bible and they take it literally. You have to look at, you know, casting out demons. You know, your demon, my demon for a long time was really abusive language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't say anything without dropping a couple of four-letter bombs.
Right.
You know, and I didn't ask God to heal me of that. God just did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it
but you were seeking God with all your heart and wanting to all he wanted you to be. And that's...
I was.
Yeah.
I was. And there's just the little gentle reminders. And,
right. Yeah.
You know, and doing God's work...
Right.
Maybe something so simple as what happened at our house last Thursday night. My daughter and son-in-law and two grandchildren came in because in Houston, it's rodeo time.
Oh, yeah.
The entire month of March, we have a huge rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren came in from out of town because my daughter and son-in-law wanted to go to the rodeo and asked me to babysit the grandkids.
Right.
They brought their dog with them. They had this cute little chihuahua.
Mm-hmm.
And while my grandchildren and I were eating dinner, I looked at my grandson and I said, where's Toby? And he said, I don't know. And I asked my granddaughter, and she says, I don't know. So I got up and walked around the house, and I'm calling for Toby and calling for Toby, and he wasn't in the house.
Uh-oh.
And so I went out in the backyard because our two dogs were in the backyard, and I called for Toby and called, and he wasn't there. So I'm thinking, oh, no, when the pizza delivery guy came, Toby got
out.
Oh,
yeah.
So we went looking for Toby and looking for Toby, and I left the grandchildren out front calling for him, and I came back in the house, and when I was in the house, I said, God, please help me find Toby.
Sure.
And my little granddaughter was just in tears.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And so I walked back outside, and when I walked back outside, without even realizing it, I had a ministry opportunity for my six-year-old grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as it hurts my heart that my daughter and son-in-law don't attend a church on a regular basis and my grandchildren are not, you know, being taught about God by their mom and dad,
right?
I looked at my grandson standing in my front yard, and I said, you know, I said, Kenneth, you need to ask God to help us find Toby.
Right.
And he looked at me, and he said, who's God?
Oh, wow.
And so I said, you know, well, God is when you say your blessing at night and you and for your meals and you ask, you know, for thankfulness for your food, you're talking to God.
Right.
He kind of looked at me like, well, where is God? And I pointed up and I said, God is in heaven.
Yeah.
And I said, and God watches out for all of us. And he really kind of thought about that for a while. And then out loud, he said, God, help me find Toby. So we stood out in the front yard for a little bit longer, and then I thought, you know, I'm going to go in the house and get my keys, and we're going to drive around the neighborhood.
Right.
I opened the front door, and Toby ran out of the house.
He was in there all along.
He was in there all along. So
Praise God.
We decided to go to the bathroom, and I looked at my grandson, and I had already said, thank you, God.
Yes.
I looked at my grandson, and I said, Kenneth, you need to thank God that he helped us find Toby.
Yeah.
So in all of his six-year-old glory, he screams out loud in my front yard at 9 o'clock at night, thank you, God, for helping us find Toby.
Praise God.
He's kind of hesitated, and he says, I love you, God.
That's cool. Woo!
And
praise
so
God.
Just planted that seed in him.
Amen. Look what God did. Woo! That's great. That's beautiful.
And I'm hoping that he learned that by asking God to help him, and then Toby came back in his little mind.
Sure.
You know, that and then he thanked God that seed has been planted and he now has a little, as you know, they say, a mustard seed
right
size of faith that next time he gets into trouble, he'll ask God to help him.
Amen. Woo. Okay, with that, we got to go to station identification. And
WPAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Amen. We welcome all of you that are listening live on the computer or that are listening in the radio area here at TAN Talk 1340 in the Tampa Bay area. And that's a big, big area. So we welcome every single one of you. Bill, is there anything we can do about that buzz that's pretty bad? Do we need to un-Skype?
Maybe I'll try to reconnect her.
Okay, let's do that. And we'll get you back here in a minute, Deb. That buzz is pretty bad. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. And we are on the air every single Sunday at 4 o'clock from 4 to 6. And we had the time change last night. So we all got at least an hour or less of sleep. But we are excited to be here. And we are live every Sunday. And if you miss any of the shows and want to catch up, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. And you can find all the past, for the last couple of years, radio shows are on our website. Usually we have them up there by Monday at noon. Like tomorrow, this show will be up there Monday around noon, and then you can listen to it as many times as you want. It's also a good way to acquaint people, introduce them to the Ministry of Beacon of Hope, and you can ask them to go and listen. And the music, all of it, it's to show exactly the way that we did it. It's recorded live, and then we're able to transfer it to the web. Another cool thing that's happening right now for some of you that listen to the radio show and you want to become more part of Beacon of Hope and you have not been able to hear what goes on in our services this morning for the very first time, Connie and Kim Beach were able to hook up a new machine and we were able to record my sermon, and we are going to be transferring that to Maxine, our webmaster, by tomorrow probably or the next day, and we will get that on the website and see how that works and see if that is something that people want to hear, and then eventually we can get some Bible studies and so forth on there too. So we did that today for the first time, so that's new, and we're excited about the ability to get some live sermons actually recorded and then on our website right away. So that's a cool thing that God is doing. We welcome you always to check out the website that I just mentioned, beaconofhopeministries.com, tells you everything about us. And we have a prayer ministry, which I'm going to talk to Deb or Alice about in just a few minutes. And we want you to know about that, because so often we all need prayer. And that is just part of life, isn't it? We also welcome you to our services. If you're in the Tampa Bay area visiting, or if you would like to come try a service with us, Wednesday night's Bible study is at 7, and we'll talk more about that later. And prayer meeting at 6:15 on Wednesday. Also, Sunday morning is at 11. Pastor Jim, well, one of my associate pastors, is teaching a series right now on Wednesday nights. We started it last Wednesday. Our Jewish roots as we lead up to Easter resurrection time. And it was powerful last Wednesday night, and that will continue this Wednesday. So hopefully you can come and join us and get in on that great teaching, and you will understand the Jewish people and the roots, the Jewish nation, and how that applies to us today. And it's just a dynamic teaching. So hopefully you can join us soon. And so, are we okay? Are they reconnected? Reconnected. Okay.
I think we are.
Hey, is it Alice?
That is.
Yeah, fantastic. You're just the one I wanted to talk to here about this prayer ministry. Tell us how it started and what it is and how people out there can benefit from it, if you will.
Well, it started because I made a suggestion that we needed a prayer ministry.
Yes,
and
you did.
Go for it.
In fact, you outlined a whole list of things you thought needed to be a part of the prayer ministry. And I said, this sounds great, Alice. Go for it. Do it. And you did. You stepped up to the plate. And that was, what, 3 years ago? And you're still doing it.
Yes. In fact, now all people need to do is send a email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And myself or Deb or Pastor Jim will usually get a hold of those and send a email prayer out to the group, listing the prayer request and also including a prayer so everyone can pray in agreement with the
Amen.
Same prayer.
Amen. And we have seen tremendous answers to prayer, Alice, haven't we? I mean, one of the ones that came through in the last couple of weeks was for somebody in our church that was going through a legal battle. And that got resolved Friday afternoon, right before the trial was to start. Her attorney put in a motion for a dismissal based on all this craziness that's been going on for over a year. And the judge granted the dismissal on Friday.
Oh, praise God. That is wonderful.
It is huge, and it is over. And that is, I mean, just an incredible answer to prayer. This harassment from this situation has been going on really for about 5 or 6 years. But this latest lawsuit is in the last year. And it's just been, and the judge just said, forget it. It's over. Dismissed. So we had a hooping and hollering praise God time at Beacon this morning.
Wow. So, God is so good.
Yes. Yes. And there's been
I'm constantly amazed at how he takes care of situations, often in ways that we would never expect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen it, haven't we? We've seen mighty works of God. Listen to this song and then Alice, stay with me. Carrie Job, Healer.
You hold my every moment. You calm my raging seas. You walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I trust in you.
Amen. Praise God. I believe you're my healer. I trust in you. Alice, is he your healer? Is Jesus your healer?
Oh, wow. Yes.
Has he ever healed you? Can you tell our audience today? I mean, I was thinking about you this morning as I was praying about how Jesus really touched you in a mighty way a few years back, didn't he?
He really did.
How
six
many?
6 years ago.
6 years ago? Okay.
I think about 6 years ago, mm-hmm. I went and really had a real difficult time. I was clinically depressed, going through some very difficult emotional times.
Right.
And it was so bad that I could not get up out of bed.
Right. And some people out there may understand this that are listening right now, because this is not uncommon. Go ahead.
I had to be reminded to take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
The whole day would go by, and I wouldn't realize the day had gone by, and then I couldn't go to sleep at night. I would be up all night. And then the next day, it seemed like I would finally just kind of start dozing off, and it's ready to start your day again.
Right.
I ended up actually being classified as disabled because I could not work.
Right.
I couldn't function.
And you're a skilled accountant, aren't you?
I'm sorry?
And you're a skilled accountant. So you had a college degree, et cetera. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had to be, like I said, I had to be reminded to eat. I had to be reminded that, it's been a couple days. You need to take a bath,
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And I literally lost about 2 years of my life because I could not function.
Wow.
I was in such a deep, deep, dark place.
Yes.
It's like I had shut myself off from the world. I crawled into a hole and pulled the covers up over my head.
Wow.
I wouldn't answer the telephone. I wouldn't talk to my parents, my dad. I wouldn't talk to my own daughter or my grandkids or anything. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
It was too difficult for me to just function. It
you isolated. Hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. And, Deb was making sure that I would go to church, but I would go to church and I would just sit there. I didn't want anyone to, give me a hug. I didn't want anyone to touch me. I was there because Deb insisted that I go.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt abandoned by God.
Yes. Yes.
And
very alone, huh?
Yes. I thank God for the people that were praying for me.
Amen. Amen.
Because it finally, those prayers, I think, finally started working. The Holy Spirit started working on me.
Amen. Amen.
I did do the footwork. Deb was talking about doing footwork.
Yes.
And I did do the footwork. I was in counseling.
Right.
I had, they had prescribed antidepressants for me. I was taking the medicine that I was supposed to be taking. I had to be reminded to take it, but I was taking the medication that they had recommended for me.
Okay.
And so I was doing, the footwork. How can I say it? All the opportunities of help that were there, I was taking advantage of those.
Okay.
Even though a lot of times I didn't want to, and I had to be prompted to go to my doctor, driven to my doctor's appointments.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't drive myself.
Yeah.
And it took a while. It took 2 years before all of a sudden I started realizing that it wasn't that God had abandoned me so much as that I had stopped communicating with God.
Wow.
I had kind of turned myself away from Him. And as soon as I allowed myself to start opening back up to Him and start talking to God about how I was feeling, telling Him, God, I feel terrible. I feel depressed. I don't know what to do about it. I got really angry at God. because
I think that's a common thing that happens to people that are going through what you're describing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got really angry with God, mm-hmm. and it wasn't until I told him
yep.
how angry I was and how abandoned I felt
wow.
that he started opening up my eyes and showed me in little ways that he was still there.
Yes.
And he still cared for me. He still loved me. All I had to do was, instead of turning my back to him, turn around and face him and communicate with him. And it was like a light switch went off.
Wow.
Deb laughs about it at, you know, now, but I think it scared her the morning that I woke up and I said, you know, I think I need to go find a job.
Wow.
And suddenly, she looked at me like I had just darkness, grown a third eye.
Right. Suddenly, the darkness was invaded by the light of God and the healing power of God going on in your emotional level, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And as much as I would have loved for all of this to have maybe only lasted a week or less or a couple days, and, you know, the light switch would have turned on and all that, it lasted 2 years.
Wow.
And I've become a stronger person because of that.
I was going to say, what has God taught you, dear Alice, through all this? Because I believe there's never any coincidences with the way these radio shows come together. We weren't planning on talking about this. We never know, of course, how God's going to take the show. I may have a general idea, but I mean, I'm always wrong. So, I mean, you know, God takes it the way he wants to take it. And I believe you're telling your testimony right now, and wasn't planned, that you're telling this for somebody out there listening that needs to hear that there is hope and there is light at the end of the tunnel. Even in the darkest days of our lives, we need emotional healing. Go ahead. That's what I want to say. Somebody needs to hear this, Alice. Somebody.
Well, praise God. You know, and that's one I am so blessed. I feel so blessed that God allowed me to go through what I went through.
You got to be kidding. You feel blessed? You feel blessed? Seriously, tell me
seriously,
this.
Seriously, because I tell you, because time after time, I run into people that are going through difficult emotional times,
mm-hmm.
and I can tell them how God healed me, how
Amen.
God waited on me until I was ready to turn around and face him.
Woo!
And start talking to him again.
That'll preach.
That, you know, it's really blessed me. You know, we mm-hmm. had a young lady there at Beacon, and, you know, some of the issues that I dealt with were family issues,
right.
you know, that were really messing with my emotions.
Right.
And I know that she was having a very difficult relationship, family relationship that she was going through.
Right.
And I really feel that one of the reasons that God put me there at Beacon was to help minister to her.
Praise God.
And to let her know some of the steps that I took to get through that.
Exactly.
And how God helped me. And, you know, time after time, I'm running into people that have, you know, difficult family situations or, you know, are in that place of depression that they can't seem to pull themselves out. And the medication, yeah, okay, it helps them get through the day, but it's not really helping their emotions so much. And, you know, I'm able to tell them my story and what I went through, and it helps because they know, number one, they're not alone. They're not the
Amen.
Only person going through what they're going through, that there are other people who have gone through that and God has pulled them out of that.
Therefore, I want you to declare, Alice, and actually right now, right where we are, I want you to pray a prayer over those in our listening audience that are suffering from deep depression, that are suffering from hopelessness, that are suffering from this very thing that you did, this black hole experience emotionally that you went through, where you felt like, where is God anyway? And that you felt like there was no hope for you for this long period of time. You were just kind of a slave to depression and anxiety and all of it, correct?
Yes, very much so.
I want you to, because the next song we're going to do is The Healing Hand of God. And I want you to pray this prayer now, because I heard from a lady this week that told me that she is suffering from deep depression. And I hope she's listening right now to this, because she and others like her need to be released from that. And I want you to pronounce that as you proclaim this prayer right now. And yes, of course, none of this was planned in advance. This is God. Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord God, we ask that you will touch the hearts and the minds of those people who are listening to us today, who are hurting, who are slaves to depression, Lord God. Those people who have shut themselves off from the world around them, who no longer have contact with family and friends because it's just too painful. It hurts too much, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you will ease that pain, that you will clear their minds, Lord, that you will help them see the love and the peace and the grace that you have for them if they just reach out to you and ask for help. Lord, make your love a visible, conscious presence in their lives. Let things happen to them. Let them run into people. Let them hear your word. Let things happen, and they will know, Lord, that you are answering this prayer. Lord, calm their hearts. Calm their minds.
Amen.
Let them know
Amen.
That you are there, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Open up the part of them that has closed themselves off, Lord.
Amen.
And we ask that your love will be a great light to them and will permeate the darkness that surrounds them right now,
Ooh.
Lord God. We ask that you will just become a visible God to them, that they will see you in things that are happening around them, and that they will turn to you and say, Lord, help me.
Amen.
And Lord God, we believe that you will help them and you will heal their minds and heal their broken hearts, Lord God.
Ooh, praise
that you
God.
That you will make all things good out of everything that they are going through right now. And Lord God, I ask right now that as they come out of this depression, because we know that they will,
Amen.
As they come out of this depression, that they will share their stories and
yes.
they will go forth and declare that there is hope, there is healing in you, Lord God.
Praise God.
In Jesus' holy name we pray.
Amen. Woo! And that is declared by our prayer general at Beacon of Hope, Alice Mize. Thank you, Alice. Don't go anywhere, you guys. The Healing Hand of God by Jeremy Camp.
I have seen the many faces of fear and of pain. I have watched the tears fall plenty from heartache and strain. If life's journey has you weary and afraid, there's rest in the shadow of his wings. I have walked through the valleys, the mountains and plains. I have held the hand of freedom that washes all my stains. If you feel the weight of many trials and burdens from this world, there's freedom in the shelter of the Lord. I have seen the healing hand of God reaching out and mending broken hearts. Taste and see the fullness of his peace, and hold on to what's been held out, the healing hand of God. I've touched the scars upon his hands to see if they were real. He has walked the road before me. He knows just how I feel. When you feel that there's not anyone who understands your pain, just remember all of Jesus' suffering. 'Cause I have seen the healing hand of God.
Thanks, God. I've seen the healing hand of God. We saw it today at Beacon of Hope, and we're hearing it right now, the healing hand of God. Want to mention a scripture here before I get Deb and Alice back on. Jesus' first sermon is found in Luke chapter 4. I wasn't planning on mentioning this today, but this is what Jesus did. He stood up in the meeting place in Galilee, and the Spirit of God just came all over him, and he asked for a scroll, and the scroll he asked for was Isaiah 61:1-5, and that is our vision. It has been my vision of ministry for so many years. It was our vision at Cornerstone Ministry in Indiana, and it is our vision for Beacon of Hope Ministry here in Clearwater, Florida. Here's what Jesus said. He's quoting Isaiah 61:1-5, and he says this. Jesus said it about himself. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." That's what we were just talking about with Alice. "And recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's what Jesus came to do. And that's what he did for you, Alice. Is it not right? That he came to set you free, and he set you free.
He set me free indeed.
Wow. What is that? When you tell your story and you share with people that God can heal emotionally, and I love that song that Connie had right there, The Healing Hand of God. I mean, that was so cool. You know, I've seen the healing hand of God. And Alice, you are declaring from Houston, Texas, you've seen the healing hand of God, correct? You've seen this anointing.
I have indeed. And it's amazing what God can do if you let him.
Exactly.
And that's part of it. You have to let him do the work.
Yes.
Because we can try so hard on our own to do things and to fix situations that are not as we think they should be.
Boy, that's profound. That's true.
But a lot of times those situations are there for a reason. And I really feel today that I went through that 2-year depression so that in turn I can tell my story and help those who are going through a difficult time today.
Oh, I certainly agree with you 100%. Because when you've been there, it adds credibility. It's one thing to say, a preacher to stand up and say, God can heal you. But when a preacher says, or a, you know, evangelist or whatever says, wait a minute, I had this and God healed me. That's another story, right?
That's right.
And when you are prayer general for Beacon of Hope Ministries says, wait a minute, I had this affliction for 2 years. I had it. I was in depression. I was in all the things that you were. And yet you can say, God did deliver you from it. You know, you've seen the healing hand of God, Alice.
I have. And you know, the Bible talks about, and this was one of the scriptures I know that we were reading in the car in Mark. I forget exactly which one it is, but the scripture talks about how, you know, when you give up your for your family and
I
your
was
jobs
going there next.
And everything,
yeah,
and
Mark
how God
10.
Will restore all that mm-hmm. to you. And you know, I went through such a difficult time, lost my job, lost my car, lost my house, you know, because I couldn't work, and He's restored all that to me, you know. I have a great job. I have, you know, a loving family. I have just so much that I couldn't have appreciated before, I don't think. And because I went through what I went through, I appreciate what I have now more than ever.
Well, that was one of the scriptures that God really has been speaking to my heart the last several days. Mark chapter 10:29-31. These are scriptures that God used to call me out of my church that I loved so much. And my dear parishioners, some of whom are probably listening to this radio show right now. Mark 10:29-31. Jesus said these words, "Mark my words, no one who sacrifices house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message will lose out. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, but also in troubles." One translation says persecutions. and then the bonus of eternal life. This is, once again, the great reversal. Many who are first will end up last, and the last first. Do you want to comment on that then? Comment on that.
You know, before I went into this depression,
right.
I was always very shy and reserved, more so than I am now.
I don't think you're shy now, Alice. Maybe I just don't know that side of you. Okay.
I used to be. It used to be very difficult for me to talk to people and to, you know, go up to a stranger and start a conversation.
Right.
It was very difficult for me. I was raised that, you know, children were to be seen and not heard, and I stayed in that state.
Okay.
You know, but it's amazing what God does. When he healed my mind of this depression, he gave a boldness to me
that
was never there before.
Woo, glory.
You know, it's just amazing. He has restored my mind better than it was.
Praise God. Woo. Better than it was?
Better than it was. I mean, you know, like I said, I was so quiet and withdrawn and not being able to talk to anybody. And now I think I'm still cautious at times, but I, you know, I don't have a problem telling you what's going on.
Right.
You know, if you ask about what I went through, I will tell you what I went through.
Exactly. Exactly. And even though you've lost, and I have too, houses and brothers and sisters and whatever, you know, all these things that Jesus says here, Jesus says, even though you give up things, people, situations for the gospel, he said, you're going to get it all back, multiplied many times over. Now, here in this life, and this is not talking about heaven. This is talking about now, that God does restore to us. And God has really been speaking to my heart the last few days about this restoration. And in fact, on Friday, I spent, believe it or not, I spent the entire day with God. I took the day off from anything but just to spend time with God. And he ministered to me the life of Job in one part of that day, and how Job had to just lose it all and give it all up. But then God restored double to him, you know, what he had lost. And how God is the God of restoration. And that's what we're saying here. We are saying that God is the God of healing and restoration. That's what it's all about. And even though you may feel, dear listener, right now that you are losing everything or have lost everything, in the economic woes of the last few years, a lot of us have lost everything. I have financially, I've lost it all, but I have gained so much with my God. I have gained so much more understanding and trust and peace than I've ever known before. So go ahead. That got awful, and I just wanted to agree with you, Alice, on that. Go
well,
ahead.
You know, it's amazing. Like I said, you know, the things that God can do.
Yes.
You know, he's restored my mind. He's you know, put me in better and better positions as far as jobs go and stuff
right.
like that. And he's just really blessed me. And I attribute that all to you know, at that one point where I realized that it wasn't that he had left me so much as I had lost my faith in him and I had left him.
Wow. That's huge.
That is huge.
What did you go ahead. Go ahead.
And the thing that's important here and the thing that you need to realize is that God was there for me the entire time.
Right.
Because if he hadn't have been there for me, I wouldn't be here for you today.
Right.
Because I was suicidal at one point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And God intervened.
Right.
And I really believe that it was God that, you know, put the people in my life that needed to be there.
Right.
Made sure that I had the support that I needed.
Yes.
That I had the right doctors, that I had the right medication that would help me see a little clearer.
Amen.
At the time, you know, and I praise God today that I don't have to take any more antidepressant medication.
Right.
You know, and I praise God that he's there and he waited for me.
Amen. But yeah, and, you and came I to your senses.
I can't emphasize that enough because there are people out there right now, and I really feel this in my heart. There
Go
are
ahead.
People out there that really feel alone and really feel abandoned by God.
Okay.
And I would challenge them to start talking to God.
Amen.
You know? Okay, you don't feel comfortable praying, then don't pray. Just have a conversation with
conversation.
Him.
Conversation. God's
Tell
words.
Tell them how you feel.
Exactly.
God, because, I mean, yes. If you think about it, God is our best friend sitting
mm-hmm.
out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you, in order to maintain a friendship, a relationship, you got to have conversations.
Amen.
So have a conversation with God. Talk to him.
Yes.
Tell him how you're feeling. Tell him how you're hurt. Tell him everything that's going on. He knows, but he wants to hear it from you because he's your friend.
Amen.
He wants to hear it. So talk to him about it, and he will answer your prayers. He will talk back to you. Get in his word. Read his word. And he'll talk to you. And
Amen.
You'll find these pieces of the, you know, the passages that you're reading in the Bible, they'll jump out at you.
Yes.
And you'll realize that God is talking to you through that word. That's what happened to me.
Yes.
You know, I finally said, okay, God, you know, I'm going to start talking to you. And I got angry with him. I yelled at him.
That's
you know?
Okay,
I was
too.
Not very nice about some of the things that I said.
Yeah.
I was very angry. But God is my best friend, and he gets me. He understands me, and Ooh. He knew where I was coming from.
You know, you are exactly right on. God's word says in James chapter 4, draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. Okay? It doesn't say he might draw close to you if you've been good enough, or if you have enough faith, or if you have done all the right things and memorized 100 verses of scripture. It just simply says, draw close to God. This is James 4, 7 and 8. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you.
And that's one
it.
Of God's promises.
That's it, right there. And, you know, when we say, God, okay, I need you to heal me. You know, I'm beat up. I'm bruised. Maybe it's physical problems that some of our listeners have right now. Maybe you've been diagnosed with a bad diagnosis. Maybe you are, you're dealing with cancer, or you're dealing with heart disease, or you're dealing with, digestive issues, or, you know, all kinds of things that could be fibromyalgia. There's so many things that are out there that harass people. And if you really don't want to hang on to that disease, then ask God in faith to heal you right now. Because these blind men said, we want you to heal us. You know, Jesus said to blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10, he said, what is it? What can I do for you? I mentioned this last week, and it bears repeating. It is Mark 10, verse 51. Jesus said to the blind man, what can I do for you? And the blind man said specifically, he said something specific. Rabbi, I want to see. And verse 52 of Mark 10, on your way, said Jesus, your faith has saved and healed you. In that very instant, he recovered his sight and followed Jesus down the road. What does that say to you, Alice, right there? What is that? I mean, what grabs you?
What grabs me is that you have to tell God what you want.
Exactly. Yes. What do you want? What do you want? Do you want to stay in your sickness? Do you want to stay in your depression? Do you want to stay in your being bound up with anxiety and fear and panic attacks? Do you want that stuff? Are you happy with that kind of chaos going on in your life? Or do you want healing in your body, in your mind, in your emotions? Go ahead. Comment on that before we do this next song.
Well, one thing I want to point out is that it's not always an instantaneous thing.
Right.
Sometimes
That's exactly right.
Sometimes you have to be that little
That's
kid
right.
tugging on your daddy's pant leg saying, hello, I want a piece of candy. Hello, I want a piece of candy. Can I have a piece of candy? Please, 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 please. You know?
Right.
And sometimes you have to be persistent in those prayers.
And that's okay, because Jesus teaches in Luke 16, and somebody may want to turn to that later, I believe it's 16 or 18, where the lady was persistent, and Jesus said, that's what I want you to be. I want you to become so persistent that when you have a need, you hang on. No, it's 18, Luke chapter 18, the first several verses. Jesus said, I admire persistence. go ahead and comment on that, Alice.
Yeah, he does, because for me, I had to continue to talk to God. It wasn't just, you know, God, I'm mad, I'm hurt, I'm angry, fix me. And he did. It was a process that I had to go through.
That's right.
And I had to ask a number of times, and
right,
bit by bit, inch by inch,
mm-hmm,
it's like a veil was lifted from my eyes.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you got to the point where you go, like the story in Mark earlier, where I guess it was when I was preaching this morning, though it's a different one, where the father brought the little child to Jesus and he had demonic oppression to the point that the demons would throw the child into the fire and water and he would have all these seizures and so forth. And Jesus said, "You believe I can do this?" And the father said, "I believe, help my unbelief," you know?
Right.
Just, I believe. And Jesus said, anything is possible if you believe. Anything is possible.
Right. And it's, you know, it's very common for people to have unbelief.
Absolutely.
So if you're hesitant, if you're not sure, that's okay.
Right.
Because God can fix that too.
Amen. Help my unbelief. The father said, "I believe." Help my unbelief. And Jesus said, "Hey, that's good. That's good. Give, it's almost like give God as much belief as you can. And you grow your faith and your belief by getting in the Word and studying the Word." That's what it says in Romans 10:17. Hearing, faith comes by hearing. And hearing a radio show like this where we are just pumping the faith into you, pumping the Word into you, increases your faith. Woo! So, what is it you want out there, listening audience? Do you want healing for your mind right now? Do you want healing from that addiction that is really driving you crazy? Do you want healing for your finances? What do you want? Do you want to be healed?
I want many thousands of books to make it to the prison ministry.
Thanks, Bill. All right. We do want a lot of books to get there. Thank you for bringing that up. Absolutely. And I'll talk more about that at the end in a minute. Listen to this song by Terry McCallum, and then Deb and Alice, whoever wants to comment again at the end of this song, you do that. "Heal Me" by Terry McCallum, one of the best songs on healing that I know.
Arise within your soul and your spirit, man. Ask God to provide for you divine health from heaven to your soul or your body or spirit today. Sing it with me. Oh,
Jesus, heal.
just begin to move around this room. There are physical needs, there are emotional needs, there are spiritual needs, there are financial needs. There are so many different things represented here, Lord. We desire as your bride to be complete and whole, restored to your fullness, Lord, that you designed for us at Calvary. And so, Lord, yes, indeed, let the fullness of your life be restored to these people today. Father, I pray that there will be a quickening to mortal bodies here as we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus, you are the healer.
Let's believe God right now for your healing. Whatever is going on in your physical body, your mind, your emotions, Lord, we reach out right now in faith, believing that you are the healer, that you care about all the details of our lives, that you want to heal our emotions, our minds. You want to heal our physical bodies. Lord, we pronounce healing right now in the name of Jesus. We pronounce healing to blind eyes right now. We pronounce healing to backs that are in pain right this moment. To vertebrae that are messed up. We pronounce healing right now to knees that are messed up and need your touch, God. We pronounce healing to shoulders that hurt. We pronounce healing in the name of Jesus to people who are suffering from migraine headaches. God, for every need that presents itself out there on the airwaves, wherever it might be and whoever it is, God, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we pronounce healing in that life in Jesus' name. Let them receive it by faith, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Whoa. Final thoughts. Deb, Alice, well, whoever wants to go first.
This is Pastor Deb.
Okay.
You said in that prayer that they need Jesus' touch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Luke 5, verse 40.
Mm-hmm.
As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus.
Whoa.
No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed everyone.
Woo! Praise God. Woo, 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 woo. Yes. Amen.
I think what I want to leave with everyone is that, you know, as they're going through a difficult time, they may need the touch, the
Amen.
Physical touch of someone.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people can, you know, speak kind words over you, but I think the thing that's going to make the impression most on people is the touch of a hand from a friend or a family member, a hug,
sure.
an arm around their shoulder, you know, just even a hand gently laid on top of someone.
Right.
You know, it's simple gestures like that that mean so much when they're in pain.
Amen.
You know, Jesus had already demonstrated that he could heal with just a word.
Right.
Yet, you know, Luke records that Jesus touched everyone personally and healed them.
Praise God. Good
you
word.
Know,
yes.
Why didn't Jesus just speak a whole word over the crowd and heal everyone? Why did he do this face-to-face, individually, one-on-one? Because human touch is so important.
Praise God. That's great. Woo! Great final thought. Thank you, Deb. Thank you so much. All right, Alice, you got a final word?
I don't know how to follow that.
Yeah, that was great. That was powerful.
Yeah, I just want to encourage those people that are out in the listening audience that are, whether they're in emotional pain or physical pain or have something going on, you know, in, whatever it is in their lives, I want to encourage them to reach out to someone and have a conversation. Don't shut yourself off, you know, too much. Let somebody know that they're that you're hurting, that you need a hug. If you need a hug, you know, go to a church, tell someone you need a hug. I'm sure somebody there will be willing to give you a hug.
And they can reach out to you and to Deb, to me, to Pastor Jim, to Pastor Michelle through prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. They can reach out and say, here's our need. Here's my need. I need you to pray for me, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll be more than happy to pray.
Yes.
And we know from experience that God answers our prayers.
Amen.
That God, really cares about the little lost puppies in our lives.
That's right.
Amen. That God really does care.
Praise God. Woo, you two are powerful. I miss you so much.
We miss you too, Pastor.
We're so glad you were here a few weeks back, and I know we'll see you again soon. And we just thank you so much for being on the show today. You've just been a huge blessing. And I hope that our listeners will re-listen to this show and get these truths down on the inside of them. So God bless you both, and I'll do the wrap-up here, all right?
All right.
God bless you. Talk to you soon.
God bless you too.
All right. So you've been listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and what we are saying today is that God wants to heal you, and he wants you to talk to him. He wants you to reach out to him and tell him like it is. Tell him what you're struggling with. Tell him what the aches and pains are in your body. Tell him your needs, because God's word says that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Whatever those needs are, physical, mental, emotional, financial, it doesn't matter what it is. It's not too big for God. We've been talking today about talking to Jesus and about really believing God for what needs to be done in your life. And what a powerful discussion we've had. We've been in the Word. We've been in Mark. We've been in Matthew. We've been in Luke, in the Gospels. The series is, it's all about Jesus. Hopefully, we will have this morning's sermon that I preached at Beacon of Hope on our website in the next day or two. Look for that. BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. Engineer Bill mentioned my book, the latest book. I have three out. The first one is Lessons from a Fiery Furnace. That's for people going through some real hard times in their life, and it'll help you. The second one is Living Large and Loving It. It's talking about living in the abundant blessings of God and how you get there. And the third one, the new one, is a letter. There is a book entitled Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost, that I actually wrote these letters to my daughter last summer, after she was sentenced to a prison sentence for drug abuse and some other violations. And she is still in the minimum security prison in southern Indiana. I saw her a couple weeks ago. What a joy it was to see her. She's doing great. She's ministering to the women in her drug rehab unit. And she is passing out her books. We have planted a lot of books in that prison, and new groups of women continue to come on board there into the rehab unit where she is. And so if you want to be a part of that prison ministry, you can. Each book that we plant at the prison costs $5. If you're buying it from us, we'll sell it to you for $10. If it's for yourself or somebody like that, if you want to plant in the prison ministry, we do that at cost. And that is $5 per book. And also, you can get the book on Amazon.com, but you can order it from us on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. It is there. Also, my website, MarciaMcAllister.com, you can go there and see all three books. So, we want you to be a participant in the prison ministry. God is blessing. My daughter will be out of there in a few months. We are believing God for tremendous things in her life. It's not far to Jesus. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Devin Alice, sharing God's word with you today. We want to hear from you. You can write me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and I will email you back and respond to you. If you need prayer, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, Wednesday night Bible study at 7, Sunday morning worship at 11, this radio show live every Sunday from 4 to 6 Tampa time. God bless you. It's been a joy to be with you today. There's been a lot of good stuff on this show. Maybe you need to go back and re-listen to it on our website. God bless you. Have a great week. We want to hear from you. And remember, God loves you so very much. It's not far to Jesus.